Beautiful worship. Thank you, bro. So children are dismissed to Children's Church. If you would open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 27, verse 27. We're into the last 3 or 4 weeks of the study in the book of Acts, and then we'll be starting a new study in June. So I'll be looking forward to starting that. A few announcements to make as you turn there in your Bibles. One, there'll be Noah Live at 5 tonight. One of the few times all year long that we don't have Sunday evening services. I encourage you to spend some time with your families. And so there'll be no activities after we close here at the end of worship service here today at 2:30. So make sure that, just joking, don't anybody freak out. I had somebody get scared about that one time. So there'll be no any more activities after worship service today. Secondly, next Sunday after church, we're having our first community time together of fellowship. So I encourage you to bring your own lunch and join us at the pavilion, or bring some chairs and some blankets, and just enjoy some time of having some food together and fellowship at the pavilion right after the Sunday morning worship service. And encourage you to sit with people you don't know. That'd be a good time to get to know some other people in the church. Always remember, my family on my mom's side has a family church. It only opens twice a year. It's a very, very, very old church, and it's a blessing. But we get together, and it's our family. And my uncle still remembers from the time when we grew up, in that everyone shares off everybody's plate. So he just walks up to people that he doesn't know and just takes their food. He thinks it's completely normal. And so I go behind him and apologize. And so it's a great time. So if you want to make more, you make more. It's up to you. But bring some, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship, and we're praying for good weather next Sunday. But right now, let's read God's word and see what the Lord has to say to us today. In Acts 27:27, it says in God's word, "When the 14th night had come, as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land, so they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread, and given thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind that made for the beach, but striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open up your word this morning, I pray that you would speak afresh to us this morning from your word from Acts. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would just want to continue to grow in our relationship with you. And Lord, seek to figure out how we can impact this community for Christ, for your glory. Lord, I pray if someone here doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today will be the day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray that you are exalted, Lord, today. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we praise you. Amen. Last week, we talked about how this whole world is going through rough seas, and it's going to continue to get rough. It's not going to get easier. It's just something that we're going to have to deal with. And Paul was somebody that was one of these people who rose to the occasion. As we're looking for leaders to rise up to the occasion as this world continually goes into darker and darker times, we need people to step up and rise to the occasion. And yet Paul was somebody who was a prisoner on the ship, and he built the trust of the centurion who was on the lead of the ship. And how did he do it? And we talked about how he did that. As a matter of fact, he built so much trust in him that he was granted leave to actually go when they docked, and to go and to see his friends at the church of Sidon, and to go and get provisions and see his friends. And you think about it, and it's like, how did he gain that much trust in so much little time? And so I explained to it is that Paul genuinely loved people. He loved people so much because it was his desire that they came to know Christ. And so he lived out the commandments of loving the Lord, his God, with all of his heart, with all of his mind, and with all of his soul. And he loved his neighbor, himself. And it showed through his life. It was something that genuinely showed throughout his life. It was his desire in his life. And it showed throughout every person that he came in contact with. And so we examined that and we said, do our lives exhibit this? Are the people that we come in contact with, can they see the love of Christ through us? But one of the things that actually brought some comfort to me, and is that Paul wasn't a perfect person. He was fallible just like us. When it came time to want some leadership decisions and they came to Paul, Paul struggled with his past as well. He said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea to go out into this course because I perceive that we are going to have not only a loss of the ship, but a loss of the cargo and also a loss of life. Although later on in the passage, we see that the Lord had told him that there would be no loss of life, that they would have a shipwreck, but there would be no loss of life. See, Paul was perceiving his past experiences in his life and not on what the Lord was doing in his life. And I think so many times in life, we tend to judge what we've gone through in our life. Paul had been through shipwreck after shipwreck, and he wasn't seeking the Lord's guidance in this case. And so they went out on the water against Paul's guidance. And to be honest, it seemed like a good idea for them. The weather was calm. The captain of the ship and the owner of the ship said it was a good idea, although everything else pointed to not being a good idea. It was the time of the year was a bad idea. It was not a good idea to set sail. But now that they're in the midst of a storm, they understood that it wasn't a good idea. Somebody needed to step up. And so here we are with Paul stepping up. And this time, he let them know that the Lord told them to not be afraid, that there was going to be no loss of life, but they're going to have a shipwreck. So when we pick up this morning, they're in the middle of this storm. They're in the middle of 14 days of going through the storm. And so when I prayed about what to preach on this morning, a lot of the commentaries, a lot of the things preached on dealing with leadership. And you certainly need a leader, as I shared with last week. You need a leader to step up in the times of trials. But you also need to band together. You need people to be in this together. And so that's where you have the sermon title from, saying we're all in this together. If this was something that was going to happen, if all 276 people were going to make it to shore, they had to be united in this to happen. They all had to do this together, much like the amount of people that are in here today. It's about 276 people that are in here today. This is what they have on this ship. If the Lord had told Paul that there would be no loss of life, it was going to take everyone's cooperation for this to happen. There's a problem here, though. If you've been in a storm for 14 days, you're tired, you're not thinking straight, you're weary, you're wondering if this is ever going to stop, and you're tired of going through this rocky land. You can't see land. You're dealing with everything in your life. You're tired of darkness. All you see is darkness. Everywhere you see is darkness. You don't like it. I mean, a lot of us like to go on boat rides, but no one likes to go on a boat ride in a storm. Has anybody been on a boat when a storm catches you by surprise? Has anybody enjoyed that boat ride? But we'll pay for it at King's Dominion because you know it'll be over in 2 minutes. But when you're in the middle of a storm, it's a complete different thing. So you get into this survival mode. We think that we need to get ourselves out of trouble. We don't like this stuff. All of a sudden, we forget that there's 276 people and we're just concerned about ourselves and our families. Sometimes we forget that our families need to get out. We just deal with ourselves and start coming up with our own plans. So just like the sailors here, they start taking the soundings because they had been out on the sea long enough. They started to perceive that they were getting closer and closer to land. So the scripture says that they took a sounding and found themselves 20 fathoms away, or about 120 feet. And so they took another measurement and found themselves 15 fathoms away, which was about 90 feet. And so they think that they're getting closer and closer, but it's still dark. It's still too dark, and they don't want to run ashore. And so they put down some anchors, and they pray that some light would just come. But the storms are too much, and they start like hyperventilating. If you got too much darkness, and you don't know what's going on, and you don't put your faith in the Lord, you just want to take some control some more. And then all of a sudden, it's every man for themselves. 276 people on board. We're going to let everybody fend for themselves. And so what happens is they're acting like they're lowering some more anchors. You see it right here in the scripture, that they're fearing that they might run on the rocks. They let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." They have to be in this together. There's a problem if these men leave. Not only can they use the boat, do they probably going to need the boat, but if they leave, these are the most experienced people. They leave the inexperienced people on the boat for themselves to fend. It was a complete act of selfishness on their part. It was a part of just complete disbelief. They're not believing in the Lord. They're trying to do this thing in their own manner. They're already shown that they didn't believe. But now Paul says that the Lord has told me this thing. It's a chance to sit there and say, do you believe in what the Lord has said? Or are you going to take hold and do your own plan? But Paul knew they were up to no good. Paul called them out and said, look what they're doing. You see what they're trying to do? You see the plan that they're trying to do? Paul said to the centurion, man, if they go, we're going to be in trouble, and you cannot be saved. So the centurion had learned his lesson from not being obedient to Paul, to not being listening to Paul and the leadership that he did, and that knowing that God had spoken to Paul, so he called them out. Paul had credibility as a leader. He had credibility because he listened to the Lord, and God said that there would be no loss of life, but there would be a shipwreck. And whether it was a moment of bad decision or guilt or whatever, they cut the ship, and there it goes. And I imagine there was this one of those oh no moments, like, oh, we can use that. But now it's gone. They have nothing left. They're all on the ship together. 276 people in the ship together. Nothing but the promises of God saying we'll all get there together alive. What does this have to do with us? We are all in this boat together. We are all in this together, trying to fulfill what God has called us to do here at Enon Baptist Church. The Great Commission, which you've heard me say over and over again, when Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given to me to go out and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. Surely I'll be with you always till the end of the ages. And we've barreled that down to a very small mission statement here for us here at this church, is to bring glory to God through changed lives by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we need to be in this together. And I talked about transparency. I talked about really being transparent as a body of believers. And over the past couple of weeks, we've seen and heard some amazing testimonies from this body of believers on Sunday nights. Man, people have been sharing their testimonies. People have been feeling led to share even more and more. We had an incredible staff meeting last week. We're just opening up in our own lives, and we just really need to be a transparent body of believers. But I understand this. As transparency comes, there are things in our lives that each and every one of us are dealing with. And as I sat here and I thought about some of those things, most of us are dealing with something in some form or another. Most of us feel like we've been going through some type of storm in our lives for 14 days or a long, long time. We feel like we've been dealing with so many storms that we're weary and we're tired of dealing with it. It might not be in your own life, or maybe it will be in your own life. Maybe it will deal with your marriage, your financial situation, your housing situation, your kids, your health. It deals with something, or maybe it might be that you're living a Christian life and you're just really getting tired of seeing all this darkness and all this sin, and all you see is darkness and darkness, and you're just trying to get to shore. You're just seeing all this stuff, and it just really burdens you. Or maybe you're a new Christian, and you're really just trying to transform your life. And man, your old friends are saying, "Come out with me and do this stuff." And you're trying to do this, and your mind is just spinning. Or maybe you're in sin, and you're trying to hide from it, and you're thinking about trying to ride the storm out by yourself, and you're just trying to hide from everybody. Or maybe you're tired of the corporate Christian life, man. You just tried it. You've gone from church to church to church, and you're thinking, man, no one is different. They're all the same. For whatever reason, many of you have tried to lower the ship yourself. You've tried to go off on the boat and leave the body to not try to be a part of God's plan for what God is trying to accomplish. Each of us have had to try to do our own thing, to not deal with it anymore. In short, just try to do our own thing and not trust in what God's trying to accomplish. In the case of these sailors, they didn't believe. They didn't believe what God had told Paul. They were all going to make it to shore alive. Sure, they were going to run on some island, but they weren't going to make it alive. And I can do better on my own. And so we got to decide, can we do it better on our own, or can we trust in God's plan that it's better to be in a body of believers working together for God's glory to accomplish his plan? We have to make that decision today. And I want to share with you some principles from this passage that I believe that we can put into practice and to see that God can use us for his glory here at Enon Baptist Church. And we've been going through this multiply study, and it's been a blessing to go through. As a matter of fact, this coming week, and you look at your bulletin, we're going to start a three-week study this Wednesday night on how to study the Bible, and I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. And if you've ever wanted to know a little bit more about how to study the Bible, we're going to be 3 weeks of that this week. But as I started looking at this and started being about how to be in a community together, there's a couple of principles that I take from this scripture today that I want us to really look at as we put into practice today. Number one is, notice when someone is trying to lower the boat. Notice when someone is trying to lower the boat. See, it's certainly biblical to go out and make disciples of all nations. That is something that we should do. Obviously, that is the Great Commission. But also part of the church is this, is when you're in a community of believers, we need to love and care for each and every one of the people here in the church. We need to love on every single one of us. Now, I know that sometimes that people get called to another church, that God should call you when you leave a body of believers, whether or not you're moving somewhere else or really God's called you to another body of believers. But there's some times where people just kind of fade away because they got stuff going on in their life, they're dealing with something, all of a sudden they just fade away. 1 week becomes 2 weeks, becomes 3 weeks, and all of a sudden they're no longer in church anymore. And we need to notice when those people are trying to lower the boat and they're gently just going ashore. They're just kind of fading away from things. If you're in your Sunday school class and you notice people aren't coming to Sunday school anymore, then we need to be saying we're all in this together. We need to love those people. We need to love on them. We need to see what's going on in their lives. We need to invest in them, not to be nosy, but to say, hey, look, is there something I can do? Is there something I can help out with? And I've mentioned over and over again, we're good Baptists. We don't change seats. So you ought to be able to know if someone's been moving around, if someone's not showing up anymore. There's an opportunity for you to love on somebody, to sit there and say, hey, what's going on in your life? Or, Pastor, do you know what happened with so-and-so? I used to see them every single Sunday, but I don't see them anymore. That we should care and we should want to bring back these people into the fold. Luke 15:4 says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friend and his neighbor, saying to them, rejoice for me, I've found my sheep. See, that scripture means so much to me because I was that lost sheep. I personally was that lost sheep. I was the one who faded away from church, and someone came and got me and brought me back into the fold. It means so much to me because someone cared enough about me to bring me back in. How many people are just sitting out there wandering in the desert, waiting for a phone call, waiting for someone to sit there and go, I was wondering if anybody even noticed that I was gone. We need to sit there and act like we are part of this family. Are you part of this family? Of this body of believers of Enon Baptist Church. Secondly, the principle that I get from this is make sure you eat. When you look at the scripture and you sit there and look at it, it says they haven't eaten in 14 days. Paul makes sure that they were going to eat. It says you haven't eaten. If you've gone through crisis after crisis over a period of time, it is natural that you're not going to feel like eating. Now, there's two principles from this. One, I obviously make jokes about how much I enjoy working out, that I don't. I actually pulled a muscle looking at my treadmill yesterday. It is something that I don't enjoy doing. But it's something I've been convicted of this week to take better care of my body, because if we're not taking care of our health, how can we take care of making disciples of all nations? We need to do our part to invest in our bodies to help other people. But the principle that I really want to get to here is this. A lot of times when you're going through crises in your life, when you're going through a lot of stuff, when you're dealing with a lot of things, one thing that you forget to do is you forget to eat spiritual food. You forget to be invested into the Word of God. There is something that you don't do. You don't spend time in the Word of God. We don't think that a day goes by, I'll get to the Bible tomorrow, or I'll go back to church, or I'll go into a Sunday school, or I'll deal with this tomorrow. But if you are really going to be able to disciple people, if you're going to be able to do things, or if you're going to go through a crisis in your life, to be able to withstand the temptations of the devil, you are going to have to be spiritually fed in your own life. You have to be able to be ready for the battles that come your way. Part of being in this together is challenging one another to grow in our walk. You need to be able to challenge one another as a body of believers to grow in the Lord. Not be satisfied with just being on the ship and knowing that one day that we're all going to be ashore, that we're all going to be to heaven. That should not be something that we are satisfied with. But to push each other to a greater knowledge and love for the Lord. As Proverbs 27:17 says, to sharpen one another. Iron sharpens iron. But thirdly is to be a witness. As Paul took bread and gave thanks to God, as Paul was sitting there and he took the bread, it says, maybe you don't feel like eating right now, but I'm taking this bread and I'm giving thanks to God. That somebody needs to be a witness. You need to be an example for others to follow. And you could use this from a public example that when you're out at restaurants, that you make sure that you pray and not to give yourself glory. But if you, a lot of people are scared to pray in public. A friend of mine, I've shared this before, a friend of mine was so petrified to pray in public when he was out to eat with somebody. It took him a while to get used to just praying in public. And so what he did, he didn't want to disrespect God. He did the silent prayer, and he just did, dear Lord, thank you for this food I'm about to receive in Jesus' name, amen. And he did it quietly. It looked like he was stretching his neck. It's something that you've got to be the example. You've got to set the example for the Lord. But secondly on this is that when you set the example, that means you got to set the example for your kids. You got to set the example for your friends. when you drop your kids off for Faith Weaver and go do your errands, that's not setting an example for your kids that being in church is important. That's not being the example. When you drop your kids off for Fuse and go do something else, you need to be in the body of believers. You need to be in Sunday school. You need to set the example. You need to show them that it's important. Because if it's not important to you, how can they see that it's important to them? You've got to set the example. Noticing that they were encouraged and ate some food themselves, I realized that as pastor of this church, if I'm not growing, if I'm not pushing myself to grow in my knowledge of the Lord, then I can't possibly push you. It's not something that's going to happen. If I'm expected to grow in the Lord, then I'm going to expect you to grow in the Lord. It should work constantly, us growing to a achievement and trying to know more about the Lord. When we treat this as a team, we all can be encouraged. But fourth, when we are truly wanting to be obedient to God's plans, think about this. Many of you in this room have made a profession of faith. Many of you have said that you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you believe that God sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins, that you've repented of your sins, that you have trusted in him, that you believe one day that Jesus will be coming back one day, that you think that you're going to heaven. But isn't it God's desire that none should perish? Isn't that what John 3:16 says, that God sent his Son on the cross, that none should perish? Yet when we see all this sin or darkness in the world, we just want to run ashore. We just want to get to shore as soon as we can, and we don't really want to worry about the other people. Because when you look at the scripture, the soldiers, once they hit this roadblock, once they had this part, they wanted to kill the prisoners. Because if the prisoners made it ashore and they didn't, they would be killed. So they weren't really concern about the prisoners. They were going to die anyway, so what's the big deal? But you know, that is the attitude that we carry with the loss. We walk by them every day and we say, what's the big deal? They're going to hell. They can live in their darkness anyways. We have gotten so tolerant to sin, we have gotten so acceptant, so comfortable with our own salvation that we really don't care about other people's eternal salvation as long as we get to shore. So somebody needs to lead in God's plan. Somebody needs to lead in making sure the Great Commission is fulfilled. Somebody needs to be a part of being a leader and working together. And so when I look at this scripture, and it says that they had it all, they said when they got there, they all got there, brought safely to land. God's plan will be fulfilled. The question is, do you want to be on that ship with him? Do you want to be part of it together? Or do you want to set sail on your own ship and do it solo? And so as we come to this time of invitation, I encourage you to see where you need to be a part of being a part of God's glory here at Enon Baptist Church. What part is he calling you to do to be a part of this team? Have you been complacent? Have you been doing your own thing? Have you not been investing into the body of believers? Is it time for you to step up and be a part of what God is doing here? Have you not made that decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? May today be the day that you give your heart to Christ. Maybe you need to be a part of this body of believers. Maybe this would be a day that you need to come and say, I want to be a part of the membership here at Enon Baptist Church. I want to invest in people. I want to help other people grow into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot do it from the sidelines. May today be the day that you would do that and invest for eternity. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to come and be able to lift your word up today. And Lord, I pray that people would come and seek your will to be done. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come and preach your word. And Lord, as we come in this time of invitation, Lord, I pray for people to respond. Lord, I pray that we would be a body of believers seeking for your glory to be unveiled here, or not out of selfish ambition, but Lord, just to see your name lifted up high. And so Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come and serve you. But Lord, I pray at this time, if someone needs to make a decision, Lord, someone needs to turn their life over for Christ, somebody needs to rededicate their life for Christ, whatever decision needs to be made, I pray that people would be obedient at this time of invitation. Lord, may you be glorified through everything that was said and done today. In Jesus' holy and precious name.